Hello and good morning. Welcome back to another edition of Sunday Focus. You know, I'm a firm believer in live music and that it heals our souls. But one Sioux Falls concert has a mission to give back to those in need. At the Lord's Center, the Gift of Hope concert, it's a show that directly benefits people at the Lord's Center in Sioux Falls. The show will be on Tuesday, March 18th at the Performance Center at O'Gorman High School. And joining us to tell us more about the show and the Lord's Center is Emily Leadham. She is the executive director of the Lord's Center. Emily, good morning.
Well, thank you, Christine. It's a joy to be with you. Well, thanks for having me.
Especially on a bright, sunny day, hopefully in the near future.
Yes, spring is springing. I feel
it. And B&G Milky Way opened up locations.
Don't you just feel like once B&G opens up, there's this like new air in the city of like spring is coming. You know, it's happening. Summer will be here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel more hopeful.
Yes.
That's the proper way to say it as we're talking about the Gift of Hope show. Again, that's going to be on Tuesday, March 18th. Before we talk about the Gift of Hope concert, I want to talk about the Lord's Center itself. So when did the organization start here in the Sioux Empire?
Yeah. So we actually have been around for, over 40 years.
Oh, wow.
But previously under the name Catholic Family Services. Mm. So about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I was hired on as the executive director of, at the time, Catholic Family Services. And we were really just kind of examining as an organization what we were supposed to be at a new time, you know, in our community, at a new time in the world. And we really went to discernment with our advisory board, with the team that we had to look at, okay, who are we and who do we need to be? What's the need, you know, in the community? And we really felt kind of invited to go in just a little bit of a different direction from where we had been, while also at the same time honoring this beautiful legacy that Catholic Family Services has had in the community for so long. So we kind of pressed in and started looking at, okay, with a new mission or a renewed mission, maybe we want to renew our name as well in the community. And so long story short, we sat down and started to discern and came up with this the name of the Lord's Center. So Lourdes is a place in France. Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of the premier pilgrimage sites in the world. So they have over, it's like crazy, like 3 million, 4 million people or something like that.
Oh, sure.
A year visit Lourdes, France. And it's a place where people go to find healing, to find restoration, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual healing. And we thought, well, why not kind of tack on to just that intercession in a sense, and come under the umbrella of Our Lady of Lourdes, who is kind of the patroness of that pilgrimage site. And so we renamed ourselves the Lourdes Center. And we primarily emphasize work in counseling services, programs and retreats and presentations, basically. So counseling is kind of our big thing. So we're a Catholic organization, but we see people of all different faiths, all different walks of life, but offer counseling services. We see probably about 100 people a week. So a quickly growing counseling center, which has been a real joy. You know, it's just, we love to sit with people. All right. You know, that's just a real joy for us. But we also felt like, okay, there's this need in the community too for programming. You know, there's a lot of people that maybe would never step foot in a counselor's office.
That's fair. Yeah.
It might be a little intimidating, or they feel like, well, I don't really need that, but I know that I need something. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we have really pressed into offering programs related to kind of various experiences or just difficulties that people have, right?
Yeah.
So it might be people that are experiencing grief, people that are experiencing past wounds or memories that come up. You know, we all kind of have our stuff, right?
Oh, sure.
And so, yeah, we really wanted to look at how can we expand our programming to serve more people in our community. Our grief programming is really probably is the largest of our programs that are offered a year. But throughout the year, if I kind of spread it out, if we were to do one thing a week, about 35, 40 weeks of the year, we are offering some sort of programming in addition to our counseling services. We also travel around Eastern South Dakota giving presentations on various topics related to mental health and the integration of faith. Our organization is really growing, which is just it's been humbling to watch and to be a part of. And we have the most phenomenal team in the world that we just always kind of say, all right, we're on the boat and we're going, we're going in the right direction. Sometimes it feels like the boat took off without us and we're swimming behind it a little bit because just how quickly we've grown. But yeah, at the same time, I think there's just a real joy in getting to do what we do.
I feel like there's a lot of layers with the Lord's Center.
Yeah.
If you can think about, you know, 40 years ago when it first opened up to what it is now, how has that mission changed over time?
Yeah, yeah, good question. So our legacy was really rooted in still the counseling services mm-hmm. and the grief services. So that has been really beautiful to carry over. We used to have an adoption program as well. And when I came on, we were really looking at just the changing world of adoption. And the primary need at the time was to be more involved in the foster care system. That's where the greatest need was. And we just weren't licensed for that. We weren't set up. So we really had to make this difficult decision. But it became very clear that we could partner with some other adoption agencies that were in the state already, and we could actually better serve those children and those adoptive parents, those birth mothers as well, by kind of pooling our resources together yeah. instead of dividing it out. So that was one big change that came. Yeah. And then I would say, too, over the years, it's been really beautiful to see the different programs that have kind of risen up in response to a need. Mm-hmm. So for a while, I think there were anger management classes kind of going on, and they would partner with, you know, the penitentiary or something like that to do some of that sort of work. So over the years, I would say just the emphasis of programming has changed. And now our primary audience is kind of the yous and me's of the world. Mm-hmm. That was where we started to notice the gap, right? It was Christians in our pews that were looking for counseling services, that were experiencing grief or trauma or difficulty, and wanted to take that next step in their healing journey. And so that's what I would say has kind of really emphasized now in our work, is that that kind of Christian counseling perspective, the grief programming, that sort of thing. Yeah, that's kind of how it's evolved, and you know, different places and different offices. And yeah, we actually just did this big office clean out last week, and I was reflecting in gratitude with all of the different hands that have carried this organization forward to serve the needs in the community. It's just been really a joy.
Oh, absolutely. So much growth within the last 40 years, even the last 5 years alone. Mm-hmm. Now, with the Lord's Center, there's different variations of it across the country. I know this. I told you that I'm a practicing Catholic.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are different centers for the Lord's Centers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's been really cool. I actually was just invited to participate in a national board.
Oh, okay.
So from across the United States of different organizations that are attempting to do this in their community. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a nationwide reality, mm-hmm. right? This need for mental health services. And so many Catholics, Christians, non-Christians alike that are looking for support. So it has been such a gift to brainstorm. How are you doing it? How are we doing it? How do we help it to grow? How do we hire for this mission? What does it look like to set up sustainable business models so that you can continue to serve the mission? How do you fundraise to help support those who maybe can't afford services, that sort of thing? So that has been very helpful to connect with, you know, other organizations in different states. But as far as I know, we're kind of the only one, at least the only Catholic agency like this in Eastern South Dakota. We kind of have this niche thing. We serve a lot of Catholics, but also, a lot of various Christian pastors throughout the city send their people to us as well, because they know they're going to get really excellent support.
And I like what you said about sitting with people, that mm-hmm. the Catholic community or the Christian community is all about sitting with one another mm-hmm. and talking with people, with priests. I mean, my gosh, we sit and talk with them all the time.
Right, right. Yes, exactly. Yeah, there's power in presence,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think we have lost some of that in just culture today in society, because so much of our world, our communication is behind a screen, or it's through a social media app, or just all of these kind of various obstacles that prohibit presence, you know, even as a mother. So I have four little girls, blessing my husband among women. We got a lot of girls in our house, but I'm so often kind of convicted around just my distraction. right? How often am I trying to order my grocery order online through my app or whatever, and my girls are vying for my attention, right? I can't give them all of my attention 100% of the time, of course, but we just are really distracted from one another. And so I've just felt this conviction lately around how do I really practice presence to the people that are in front of me to really grow in this capacity to receive the other.
Yeah.
And to love them. And so that's what the Lord's Center does. You know, that's what we are about, is to really grow in our capacity to receive the other. Because when that happens, people experience healing.
Yeah.
In just the most beautiful way. They're seen, they're known, they're loved, they're cared for. And that's a powerful thing.
Yeah. All you got to do is have someone listen.
Amen.
That is simple as that. If you are just listening, we're talking with Emily Leadham. She's the executive director of the Lord's Center here in Sioux Falls. When we talk about grief and loss, I don't think there hasn't been a single person who hasn't experienced those life-changing moments. Yeah. How easy is it for people to first open up to share their story? When you said that not many people are comfortable with a counselor, I could say that I was one of them. Yeah. I wasn't for the idea of counseling or therapy and just opening myself up to a complete stranger.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you're alone in that.
Yeah.
I think it's not the norm, right? In some ways, because we're made for friendship, we're made for deep relationship. And so the natural place that that is first going to happen is in your family, is in your friends. And that's really important and also really necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to discount that. Like, actually, that's stage one. That's step one, right? But then there's this next layer that I think you are speaking to of this. I know that I need something more. I know that I need some help beyond maybe what my family and friends have the capacity to give me, not because they don't love me, not because they're not great listeners, not because they're not phenomenal people, but there's actually something to be said for the psychological sciences, right? And how do our brains process information? How do we experience information? And then how do we rewire our brains sometimes to diminish some of the overwhelming experiences of grief? Or anxiety, mm-hmm. or overwhelm, or anger, or pick your poison, right? Pick your emotion. And so that's, I think, where counseling can really come in, and particularly for grief counseling. I think the other dynamic with grief is that if someone is experiencing deep grief, usually the closest family and friends around them are also grieving.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
No, that totally makes sense.
So there's a benefit to, for the grief component, someone kind of outside of that circle that's experiencing it differently, and that can almost be that like steadfast presence in front of someone else's grief. To observe it. You know, there's this great book, Grief Observed by C.S. Lewis. Like there's, and it's his experience of his own grief, but grief needs to be observed and tended to in that way. And I think for individuals who are struggling to get to that point where they're maybe recognizing I'm struggling, I don't know if I need help. Why not try it?
Yeah.
You know, there's no harm. And I think people, you know, counselors are so well trained to just receive the other. And they're not going to impose on you.
Yeah.
They're creating a safe place for you to process, for you to just name your own experience and also come to understand your experience more fully so that you can receive the healing that God has for you.
There's a program that caught my attention right away. It's called Camp Sydney.
Yeah.
And it really reaches every part of your mission. Everybody can be involved with the Lord's Center, especially children. This camp is for families. So why don't you tell us more about it?
Yeah, Camp Sydney started about 5-6 years ago. And it is a camp for children. And we call it a camp for children and their families.
Yeah.
Because we really are wanting to tend to the children that have experienced loss. So we typically have maybe 15, 16, 17 families each summer that join us.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's about what we have room for, to be honest with you. We've discerned adding another camp.
Sure.
Just to accommodate more individuals. But we're down at Broomtree Retreat Center, which is this beautiful retreat center near Irene, South Dakota, and kind of towards Yankton. And it's intended, it's a weekend camp, but it's intended to provide children an opportunity, a space to grieve. But we also want to support their parent or their parents or their guardians while we're there as well. So there's kind of a two-track thing going on where we have things for the children and then some opportunities for the parents as well to just be together, to share in kind of small group mentality or small group opportunities, but also some content that's delivered to them as well. So it's just been beautiful, but it's also a camp and we want kids to laugh and we want them to have fun. You know, no child should have to grieve.
Yeah.
And yet that's the reality that we find ourselves in. And so our heart is really to help these children navigate this unimaginable loss, whether it's a sibling or a parent, in the most healthy, helpful way possible, so that this grief doesn't define the rest of their life, but it actually helps them to grow into who God has made them to be. You know, that they can receive this suffering that has come their way, but in a way that propels them forward in life and increases their empathy, compassion towards themselves and towards others.
Why the name Camp Sydney? Is there a story behind the name?
Yes. So the Jones family, a phenomenal family here in Sioux Falls, they lost their daughter, Sydney, when she was in college. And they were really the ones that we approached many years ago with this idea to start a camp for children. Sydney had a sister, and this family just grieved so deeply the loss of their child. And so we asked if we could name camp after Sydney in honor of that family. And they've been tremendously supportive over the years of helping camp to continue to grow.
Oh, what a great way to honor someone like that.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
It's very beautiful. We already kind of hit on the fact that adults, they take a while to open up.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to grief, loss, and sadness, how do you approach those subjects with kids?
I think one of the most important things is to use real language. You know, kids are smart. Sometimes we don't give them credit.
I don't know where they get it from.
I know. But kids are really, they're really perceptive. They're really smart. And often us as adults, we want to dance around things. I'm experiencing this with my 8-year-old. You know, when I'm trying to kind of avoid a subject, she knows. And she'll chat, well, what do you mean, Mom? So when we're approaching conversations of grief, we try and really not beeline for it in a disrespectful or I don't even know the word I'm looking
dismissive.
For.
You don't want to be dismissive
yes, there
towards
you go.
Them.
Yes. Yeah. So we try and talk very particularly. So your dad has died, you know, using that language, and that feels so uncomfortable for us. Like, did you feel how uncomfortable it was when I said that?
I did.
Right. So we're really uncomfortable with that kind of language, culturally. And yet that's what children need to understand what is happening. So for the child, they're confused when we say, you know, they're no longer with us. Well, where are they? Right. Well, where are they?
It's confusing.
It can be a little confusing. And so and I'm not, you know, maybe that's a bad example, because I think that's an OK thing to say, that, you know, they're in heaven and that sort of thing. But using concrete language is really important. And I think also creating the space. But sometimes we also, you know, play therapy for children is a thing, because that's how children grow, right?
Yeah.
If you watch kids, they play.
They do.
They play. And so we also want to create an opportunity for children to play. And it's beautiful just what God can do in their heart as they play. It gives them permission to be safe. It gives them permission to process. It gives them permission to open up. And, you know, for the record, I think sometimes adults need this too. The antidote to fear is play. Mm-hmm. I have a priest friend that once told me that, Emily, the antidote to fear is play. So when you have an adult that's just so afraid of getting hurt, so afraid of trying something different, so afraid of stepping out, help them to play. They need to learn how to play. They need to learn how to laughter is a phenomenal gift to us. It helps open the heart, right? So, so that's what I would say is kind of that process of really creating a space, but then we don't shy away from it. If we're uncomfortable talking about it, they will be uncomfortable talking about it. We need to get more comfortable talking about hard things.
I know for me as an adult, my form of play is coloring?
Yes.
With an adult,
I love it.
Coloring?
Yes,
book?
Absolutely.
Or even just watching a silly little kid show or a movie that I used to love back in the day.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, me going to kick a soccer ball or shoot a basket. It can just be those nostalgic things that you remember growing up.
Even cooking for me.
Yes.
I love to cook. And when I'm not on a deadline and people are, you know, I have little people around me that are starving. But when I have time to cook, that's playtime for me. And I feel so rejuvenated by that. My conversations with my husband are more joyful when I'm doing that because I am, I'm at ease. I'm playing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you were just listening, we're being joined by Emily Leadham. She is the executive director of the Lord Center in Sioux Falls. Now, briefly, I want to talk about COVID and 2020.
Yeah, sure.
I don't like that we have to talk about it, but it did change a lot of aspects in life. I think it's safe to say that not only adults were grieving during this time, but kids were too. We were built for human interaction. So with the Lord Center and what your mission is, how did you guys adjust your programs during 2020? Because in a world where we couldn't be around people, there had to be something in order to make people feel validated or seen, heard, anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So I actually came on in October of 2020. So like at the end of, remember that spring is when things kind of
Do I remember?
Right. So that's kind of when things blew up. And I was hired then that fall when we weren't out of the woods yet, but I was kind of on the other side of it. But I think in some ways, I feel like COVID actually just shone a light on some issues that were already present in our culture. You know, I think we were already struggling with feeling disconnected. I think we were already struggling with lack of meaningful relationships. Mm-hmm. I think we were already struggling with mental health. I think we were already struggling, right? COVID happened and really it was like, here's the spotlight that shone on these issues that were already present. And I actually praise God for that because I think what happened is it allowed things to come to the surface.
Sure.
And I think it gave people freedom and permission to say, I'm not okay. Something is not well. There were also absolutely many, many, many people who experienced kind of acute stress, fear, overwhelm, you know, with that time that once it was over, they went back to feeling well, feeling normal. So there's also that experience as well. But I would say the Lord Center, it just taught us to be light on our feet. And we expanded services in 2020. What a funny thing, you know, as things were shutting down, we like doubled, like we grew.
That sounds about right. Because when you talk about anxiety and counseling, like that had to have grown exponentially for people.
Yep. And I really credit the interim director who is still on our staff, Mary Weber. She's just a phenomenal gift on our team. She was the interim director during this time. And she said, okay, team, we are going to pivot. We are going to expand our telehealth services. And really, that also kind of became maybe a way in which we've continued to lean on what we learned there is we do provide a lot more telehealth following that just because there's not counselors in every city across Eastern South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to be able to serve all of our rural areas. We wanted to be able to serve even those in our bigger urban kind of metropolitan areas. So yeah, we continue to offer telehealth that started really and grew under that time. But yeah, like I said, I feel like it kind of just shone a light on what was already present and it gave people permission to seek support and to seek help. And we started talking about mental health more openly.
Yes.
Which is just, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a good thing to continue to give people permission to be seen and heard and to seek the support that they need.
And speaking about human connection and interactions, part of that is live music.
Yeah.
And the Gift of Hope concert. That is, again, coming up on Tuesday, March 18th. It's going to be a great night for music and for, more importantly, getting proceeds for the Lord Center. What can people expect at the show?
I am so excited about the show this year. It's just going to be
Your
so
face just
good.
Lit up.
I know. It's because it's going to be so good. So Seth Schlieder is a nationally renowned artist that's going to be joining us. He actually came last year to our annual concert and did an opening for us. And I just sat there like, man, who is this guy? You know, I just
like
was
he should
really,
be the one headlining.
Yeah, I'm like, let's go, bring him back. He's really grown. So he's had like multiple number one hits on kind of all Christian radio and stations and whatnot in the last year or two. So he's coming. And then this year, though, I was like, can we, I want to do something a little different. You know, this concert has, I think we're on like the 25th annual. So this has been around for a minute, you know?
Long time.
Yes. And we've done various iterations of it over the years. But I just kind of had a heart to do something a little different. And so I approached the Catholic Community Foundation, who helps us to organize and plan this concert. And I said, what if we made it a candlelight concert? You just asked about you just asked about COVID. One of the coolest things that we did during COVID, because we couldn't have any like these indoor events, we had this candlelight vigil on the steps of the Cathedral of St. Joseph.
Yeah.
In April, you know, it was cold and but like we had 100 people out just lighting candles in like offering their prayers, and then we lit one of those lanterns. It was the coolest.
Yeah.
It was so, we should almost bring it back, but it was really cold and you just never know what's going to happen for an outdoor event in South Dakota in April. But anyway, so those candles though had just really like made an impression on me and on so many people, because we know something about this as Christians. Like there's something to this idea of lighting a candle that holds vigil, right? This light that even when we are away, that light that burns, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's why basilica have candles that are constantly lit.
Yep.
Right. So anyway, so I approached the Catholic Community Foundation and said, could we make it a candlelight concert? And the foundation, who, you know, I had the idea that was like this big, I'm holding a small little, my hands are in
just
a small little spot.
Little idea.
Yeah, just a little idea. And the foundation was like, let's go, and made it a big idea. So we have like 1,000 some candles that we've ordered and prepared just to make it this beautiful evening. I want people to not only come in order to, of course, support the Lord Center, as you mentioned. That's what allows us to and not turn anyone away for financial reason. It's what allows us to continue to expand our programming. It's what allows us to continue to grow our services and travel around Eastern South Dakota. But I also wanted people to experience the love of God. I wanted them to have a taste of something beyond themselves. And I think that's what we're going to do. So it's going to be beautiful. I think it starts at 7 o'clock, like you said, Tuesday, March 18th, at the Bishop O'Gorman Performing Arts Center here in Sioux Falls.
So how did the Gift of Hope concert start? Like, if you can, you know, go in your crystal ball, like who said, let's just do this show and see what happens?
I would love to know the answer to that. I actually, that's ahead of my time. I think at the time, Catholic Family Services recognized, okay, we need to provide an opportunity for individuals to support the Lord Center and to support Catholic Family Services and learn about who we are. And so they started this event. It continued to grow. I think probably the first one was a concert. And I think it continued to grow. And so then they approached the Catholic Community Foundation and said, hey, this has gotten big. Can you help us plan just the logistics of it, right? And so the Catholic Community Foundation agreed and has been partnering with us ever since. And like I said, there's kind of been various iterations of it throughout the years, but there's this steady stream of people who just continue to support because they love the work of the Lord Center. Yeah. And then we also have people that are like, I've never even heard of the Lord Center, but I love this concert and, you know, I wouldn't miss it or whatever. And then that's our opportunity to share the mission of what we do as well, which is just, it's kind of that twofold opportunity. People come, they experience something really powerful, and they get to experience the mission of the Lord Center in real life.
Have you seen those videos on social media with candles all over the stage with violins and cellos? Is it going to be kind of similar to that, just a sea of candles?
Yes, that's the goal. That is the goal. Yeah, we like have been scouring the internet for just inspiration and pictures and that sort of thing. And I actually have a friend that went to one of those candlelight concerts a few weeks ago in Sioux Falls and said it was beautiful. And our stage is like triple the size that. So we are like quadrupling the candles we have, which I think is going to be really beautiful. The goal is to have candles in the aisles. And, well, I won't tell you anymore. People can come and experience
a good little
tease
there.
Yes, but I think it's going to be absolutely beautiful. Like I said, we want people, especially in the winter, you know, like we were talking about spring earlier. But let's be honest, we still have a couple of weeks of cold before we're out of the woods. And so, we just really wanted people to come in and experience this night of warmth. Mm. We're also doing it on a Tuesday night, which is a new thing.
Right.
Weekends are full, man. Like weekends are busy.
I can agree with that.
Yes. You get that too. And so we thought, let's try something a little different and see if that, if we can make that happen. It's a Tuesday night before kind of some schools are on school break, which I think is going to be perfect. So it's not in the middle of a really, really busy, you know, school week for families. And that brings another point too. Kids are welcome. This is really good. I would say littles, they might get a little antsy, squirrely, a little antsy, but your junior high schoolers, will thrive. I think they will really, really enjoy it. And it's just a very relaxing evening. It's really beautiful. We tell a few stories about the work of the Lord's Center. So I think it'll be a beautiful way to pray and to be together.
Awesome. Again, it's Emily Leadham. She's the executive director of the Lord's Center. Any other events or stuff going on that you want to share really quick?
Yeah, I would love for people to follow along with us on Facebook. You can find us at thelordscenter.com as well. But we are regularly, you know, putting out our upcoming programming. So you mentioned Camp Sydney earlier. Yep. We're in the middle of a grief program right now. For those that are grieving, we do a lot throughout the year, but we also have a healing series that's going to start up again early fall. That's just related to any kind of healing of memories or healing of relationships, whatever your need is, you know, and anybody that desires to grow in relationship with God is a great thing for them. So we'd love you to follow along with us there.
Wonderful. Again, Emily Leadham, Executive Director of the Lord's Center. Good luck with the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Christine. It's a joy.